I met Oswald about a month before the assassination. He came into the State's Item newsroom. He said, well, there was a little story that the paper had carried saying that William Oswald or whatever had been arrested for distributing Fair Play for Cuba leaflets in front of the old International Trademark. Well, he was exercised about some alleged inaccuracy. So took him over, introduced him, and I went on about my business, and that was the end of it.
That's Charlie Ferguson, former State's Item staffer, later editor of the Times-Picayune. Those memories are from an oral history recorded by Mark Cave, senior curator at the historic New Orleans collection. When news of the assassination broke, Ferguson had no idea there was a New Orleans connection.
As far as we knew, it was, you know, a huge national story until I saw Oswald on television after they had apprehended him. And I called Walter Cowan, the city editor. I said, Walter, you know who this guy is? He said, no. He said, this is the guy who was in our newsroom a month ago. So we began to scramble like crazy.
But the New York Times was ahead of them all the way. While they beat out local newshounds on the Oswald connection, 3 years later, it was State's Item reporters Rosemary James and Jack Wardlaw who scooped the next big story. In 1966, when rumors were rife around the criminal courts building that Jim Garrison was investigating the assassination, Rosemary asked him for an interview. He said no.
So we decided to end-run him, and we went to the records of the so-called Fines and Fees Fund. And we found in the records all these expenses of his investigators and assistants going to Dallas for one reason or another. And we decided that it was worth a speculative story. After that, all hell broke loose as far as journalists from all over the country came in. And he was just in hog heaven, Garrison. He got all the headlines he ever wanted.
Garrison's arrest of distinguished New Orleans businessman Clay Shaw caused a sensation, not only in New Orleans, but around the world. Everyone believing Garrison must have something.
That's what everybody in New Orleans thought. You know, Garrison, as you know, could charm the birds out of the trees. He was an incredibly charismatic man. I guess people thought that he wouldn't have put his own neck out on the line if he didn't have something. I was at that trial every day for 6 weeks. You had to be there to realize what a circus this trial was and what a parade of psychopaths, liars. I don't know how to describe them. They're such a bunch of nuts. I mean, that's the only way you can describe them. And some of them look quite good when the district attorney would question them because they'd been heavily coached. On cross-examination, they fell apart.
It's fair to say that this community was divided as to Clay Shaw's innocence or guilt. But then, so were the reporters at the State's Item.
You know, it was pretty much a circus in the newsroom all the time. I think that the State's Item office was a microcosm of New Orleans because about 50-50, people either believed Garrison was on to something or they thought he was a screwball.
One who fell into that latter category was Charlie Ferguson.
This Garrison thing was a phony from the word go. What disturbed me more than anything else is that people at the newspaper were allowing themselves to be co-opted. Garrison made these wild and unsubstantiated charges and got huge headlines. I think it was sort of a shameful chapter.
It took the jury less than an hour to declare Clay Shaw innocent. To read more about Rosemary James's recollection of the run-up to and conclusion of that trial, go to WWNO.org or NOLAVIE.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.